Whoops, had to slip in the legal ID there at the top of the hour. But anyway, but these songs from like early 80s, really, you can hear where they found this whole birth of this whole genre of electro or electro clash. And then all of a sudden there's this song tucked away on a Eurythmics album, which had a lot of pop songs on it. Also a lot of like kind of formula rock songs on it and soul. Mm-hmm. But this is like an ambient piece, like you said, and it's almost like set a template for like the artist we heard right before, Ella Minus or whatever, however you say her name.
Ella Minus.
You can almost hear some the same sort of rhythmic feel to it, the same sonic feel to it. So, yeah, I think it paved the way for songs even 30, 40 years later.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, sometimes we pitch this show as like the songs and artists that inspired generations, right?
That's which your kids say so well each week on the show.
That's Phoebe, yeah. Which it makes sense.
But by the way, both of them have it. I think I just happened to use her version of that. But they both did it, and it's great. Go ahead. I'm sorry. By the way, what?
I think I've heard both. I wanted to, by the way, on Ella Minus, is that she is touring and she's going to be playing in San Francisco October 28th at the Independent, if you want to go see her make music without computers. And we were remarking on this song as we're listening to it, the lyrics are, it's kind of like she's got a hangover or something, and very literal lyrics, right? I woke up, I had too much to drink, stuff like that. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, and honestly, I was just looking here to try and remember, but you remember Erica DeCassier? I played her last week, I think it was, which I was raving about. It's like my favorite song. She's playing, I think, this tomorrow night in San Francisco at whatever hall. I can't remember the name of the hall that it's. Is it Great American Music Hall?
I was so mad
that they were like coming up and it was like low ticket alert, Erica DeCassier. And I was like, oh, when is this? And it was like tomorrow. So there was no way I was going up there to see it. But similarly to Ella Minus or Ella Minus, however you say that, I should have done the research to figure that out. Similar to that, like I'm kind of interested to see what the live show looks like, you know?
Yeah.
This next set, this is your spot. The fourth spot on the show is your song. This is like the one you're most excited to play. You've featured this band probably more than any other artist. I think we've now seen them four times.
You could be right.
You love Faded Paper Figures. They are your group. I have grown to love them myself, but explain this next track.
I'm really glad because I think the story for me finding them is funny too. I remember I talked about on the show was I found a playlist on Spotify that I made 20 or maybe almost 15 years ago where one of their songs, Faded Paper Figures, one of their early songs was on it. And I just forgot about it. And I found it, you know, a year ago. I said, wow, this is really good. It's like a gift to myself. Who is this band, Faded Paper Figures? And then I listened more, and I really liked their sound. And I turns out, so that makes it fun for me to have kind of refound a band that I just instinctively thought I might like. And then I actually ended up continuing to like it 15 years later. I'm following them now, and they're still making music, which is great.
And they don't rely on it as income, so they could keep going. They're doctors,
that's correct.
Right? One of them is a doctor?
One of them is a medical doctor, and I think the other one produces music, and another one is a lawyer, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
A professor. Sorry, a Harvard professor.
They don't rely on this for a living. This is their outlet.
They don't, but they did have a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter to sell, like you could go meet the band, have dinner with them, stuff like that to promote, I think, this their latest album.
If Alicia needs a good gift idea for you. I'm amazed because I don't know what to expect from them. I think that's a massive compliment. I haven't been able to really put a category on them, whether I think of them as electronic, whether I think of them as kind of like indie-leaning electronic, mm-hmm. Or synth pop or pop. They really, really keep making good songs. And this is now, I heard songs from way back that you featured earlier, like I think even like maybe 8-10 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And now I've heard this and I was like, I guess it's like always fresh. It's always something fresh from them.
I guess I always associate their sound with a lot like the Postal Service, the Give Up album from Postal Service, in the way the synths are assembled and the vocals, have the guy gal vocals. These guys are very similar to that album. Mm-hmm. So I was really excited when this came out. It just came out. It's called Nothing More. And I think it's got those elements that I call their core elements of the guy girl vocals and the heavy electro sounding synths. And their lyrics are kind of thought provoking, not just like about lost love or anything, or not necessarily melancholy, and not going too deep emotionally. But I think that this song in particular, if you listen to it, you can actually think of it as kind of political of today. Like it's a political commentary, maybe, but that's up to you. So anyways, and this particular song has a slightly funkier sound to it than I think their core elements are, with a little bit of guitar groove to it. So I'm really excited to share this.
Well, I know you are. I had added into rotation Forget All the Days We Died, which was also a new release. To me, that was more electronic. This, to me, kind of reminded me more of Fantagram. And I can't say any of the other songs I've heard from them remind me of Fantagram, but this one did. And yeah, it's from the same album as Forget All the Days, which to me is way more on the electronic side. Mm-hmm. So, but again, I like the guy-girl formula. In this case, I think it really works well for them. Yeah. This is right in the, like I always say, like there's a certain Willis sound. If I hear it, I'm like, Willis will like this. They have it in spades.
Agreed.
It's that sound that you like, that electronic but accessible poppy indie kind of, like you do like a melody a lot. And these guys are, again,
I think you nailed it.
Bathing in melody. Was an easy one for me to follow up with because I've been waiting to play this song so many years at this point.
Cool.
I love this next band after your choice, the album Leaf. There's really not a lot of songs I could feature. This is one I play in rotation, so you might have heard it before, but it's a beautiful song called Always For You. I kind of wish we could watch the video while we listen, because it's...
I can switch to the video, yeah.
For anyone listening, go find the video for the album Leaf, Always For You. It's just a really well-thought-out idea for a video, I think.
All right, we'll watch the video.
Open for interpretation, but I think creative video ideas are awesome. Little movies. This is a little movie. Let's do it. You ready for the set?
All right, let's go.
Faded Paper Figures, Nothing More, Willis's pick on the deep dive. Black box, the machine talks, saying everything you said before, nothing more. A tight lock on all the old talk, and everything we ever swore, but nothing more. How are we supposed to think ahead when inside our head?
Choose. I'll go can shout. You're listening to The Deep Dive on Hi-Fi Dream.
Thank you.
Hi-Fi Dream, The Deep Dive. We're coming out of a song from the album Leaf in 2006. The song is called Always For You. Before that was Willis's Choice, Faded Paper Figures, Nothing More. Always For You, kind of like a glowing light of a song. It's sort of melancholy, sort of positive, a love song at its core. We watched the video together, which is very unique and cool, but tell me your thoughts on this. What did you hear?
The video, so I listened to it first without the video, just the song, and my thoughts are that the sounds are, I really like the sounds. There's this dominant chugging beat, that's dominant. And then there's this, the guy does this high-low harmony the way it's recorded. So it's like, I think it's his own voice twice, right? High, one high and one low. And it sounds so good. Like it fills your ears. Then this the keyboard, the melody of the keyboard, it's got that slur between the notes. It's really cool, which it's pretty easy to do. But the effect of all that together makes this a really like an earwormy sound. And you called it ambient, but actually it's very forward. It's a forward song, but I think it feels ambient because of the minimalist, I think, approach. So those are my thoughts about hearing it. And then
a quick note on that part, before you get to the next segment of it, what I mean by ambient is the group itself. Their music is like mostly instrumental. There's like one or two songs on every album that have vocals that are kind of as pop songs or straightforward songs. The rest are kind of like long, instrumental, almost like, I don't want to say anticlimactic, but it has a little bit of that kind of like more of meditation level music. It doesn't really peak too often.
Okay.
Mogwai-ish. Although Mogwai has very high peaks, so does Album Leaf, but overall they're an ambient kind of like alternative sort of trip hop, dreamy, whatever. So that's what I mean by that.
I like that about even Mogwai, how they're mostly instrumental, but when you hear them sing, it's special. So
it's it's more intentional and it's exactly right.
Yeah,
those songs hit harder, right?
I totally get it, and so that it must hit harder, and I do feel like this, the beat does kind of intend for you to fall into this trance, and that helps you to watch this video, which is a very well crafted, directed, intentional video that is meant to be slightly. I mean, it tells a story for sure. And I recommend people to watch the video, so I won't give it all away. But it definitely goes with the song, and it complements the song, and I think enhances it now, because now when I hear the song, I think about the video and what it makes you think when you're watching it. And we had a very good discussion about what the video means, and it's one of those things where even though it's video, you can still interpret it different ways, and the ending changes the way you think about it. Even what you thought you were watching, it changes a twist at the end, but still you still don't know exactly what the story is, which is cool.
I think there was a period of MTV with videos in the beginning. They were just meaningless kind of videos. They were cheesy. They were mostly either the little subplot and like the artist faking or miming a song. They got better in the mid late 80s, like Sledgehammer and like all these other, you know, Michael Jackson videos. It got much more complex. Then in the 90s, they started to make more like stylish videos. I feel like they started to do things with a purpose, like more of a theme and clever. And this to me carries, this was probably the peak time for music videos, 2006. I think that's probably about around the time when it started to dip the other way, where they started to make less meaningful music videos because no one was really watching MTV anymore for that. They were watching it for Real World or Road Rules or whatever.
So it
changed music videos. This was one of those that I said to you off air and you just reaffirmed it. It's enhances the overall song when you see the video. It makes you really hear the words better and feel the emotion behind the lyrics of the song. Just good. I love when a song can be enhanced by a visual image, and this certainly is. So two more songs left on the show. Since we've dragged you down some pretty dark places across this show, we decided we're going to end dancing. And not the most like electronic thumping four on the floor way. This is more like I think this is a really great two songs to end what I think is a bittersweet show.
Yes, I agree.
So talk about your choice. We both, well, I love Friendly Fires. I think you now do too. Talk about this choice.
Yeah, you introduced me to them from show number 26, a choice called Paula. And I remember distinctly there was some issue with that one. Like, I couldn't find it. You said it was here and I couldn't find it. I couldn't listen to it. But anyways, I was surprised because I heard this song called Lack of Love from 2019 that I thought it was a dance, like a electronic dance band. But it turns out looking them up, they're like an English indie rock band. At least that's the genre they're classified
as.
But this song, this whole album, I think is very danceable, very house groovy.
They've always been a house dance,
is that right?
indie dance band. Yeah, they just happen to be like not educated, intelligent. It's intelligent dance music.
Yeah.
Therefore, it gets categorized as like indie for some reason.
I guess. Okay. So they don't do like straight indie rock.
No,
tracks.
I can't even name one song that has a guitar. The song Paris is the closest thing to like an indie band sounding song, but that's even all synths and program beats. But they play like a group sometimes. I think that kind of confuses people.
I guess that's what it is. And sometimes when I hear a song and I see that the genre is like an interesting song and I see that the genre is just dance electronic, I feel like that's like a cop out. Like
I
call
agree.
It something right more descriptive. Just
totally
because you
agree.
Use, yeah, electronics doesn't mean it's dance music. But this one you can dance to. It's very melodic. It's got this Latin flair to it, like the rhythmic guitars. I feel like even though they're electric guitars, it's kind of that flamenco style of strumming. And then there's some bongo, like Latin style drumming in it. So I like the mix of it on top of it being considered indie. So I felt like it's a good way to end the show.
It's funny because I'm a huge fan of this group. I have been into them for quite some time now, since going back to their first album. But this particular album, which what year did it come out? Remind me, 2019. Okay.
Yeah.
This particular album didn't resonate with me the same way as their previous albums and even the one to follow. But it had like Love Like Waves Love Like Waves and another one that I'm playing on the station, which wasn't a single, Run to the Wildflowers is the other one.
Okay.
But there was a bunch of singles on the album, like four or five. It just didn't strike me the same way Paula did as an album. Paula was a slower song, but that album was very similar in tone and dance. But coming back and listening to this song after not loving this album, I was like, I missed this. I didn't get this album at the time, maybe the way I would have if I listened to it now for the first time or whatever. I now understand I missed this album and I have to go back. I have it on vinyl behind me. So I just have to go back and listen to it again with new ears. And I'm sure I'm going to love it because this song for sure, this disco house sound is like really well done. And lyrically, I love how they sort of approach their vocals.
Yeah. You can't not tap your toes when you're listening to this song.
Yeah, exactly. They actually have a perfect mix between melody, rhythm, catchy, hooky songs, but they don't sound, not superfluous. They don't sound like these songs don't just come out of thin air.
Formulate.
I feel like they really work the process to get great songs. So let's just say that Friendly Fire's Lack of Love is like intelligent dance music, much like the group that's going to follow it, the Pet Shop Boys. Again, an easy kind of segue for me into the ultimate October album, which is Behavior by the Pet Shop Boys. It's the perfect October listen record. This song is one of the second to last song on the record, and probably the most optimistic on the record. So do you want to share anything about that track?
I think it's important to share with our listeners, if they don't know Greg, the inner workings of Greg is that this is a thing, is every October he goes for a drive. And definitely Pet Shop Boys is one. You listen to this album. And that is a thing that you do to get in the mood and be you, which is kind of cool. It's nice to know that little story about you. And so it's fitting to have a Pet Shop Boys song here at the end of the show to lead us out. This song is a really good beat, by the way, for driving.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of playing a Japanese video game, like an arcade game that has the steering wheel and the gas pedal, you know, and you might sit down in it. But it's got like a little stereo in the game that plays music, and you can't choose it. It'll play the music as you're driving through these various locales, you know, so you go through the countryside, the oceanside, or through the outskirts of the city, and you see the city in the background, and it'll change the music as you go.
Right.
So, because it's got that production quality, I think, that feels a little bit, not simple, but like stripped down.
It is kind of like there's not a lot of instrumentation in here.
Yeah.
But okay. That's great. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all. And so so that's the feeling I get as well. So this is a good driving song. But I was curious, though, is, you know, Neil Tennant's vocal style is what's so prominent in the Pet Shop Boys music. And how come we don't hear people trying to emulate him? Or are there bands who emulate
him? I think there are. I just think he's very, he's so literary. It's almost like he's so intelligent. He was a writer prior to being a singer. He used to do reviews for, I think, Q Magazine or one of those.
Right.
Daily Mail or something. But he was a writer. And mm-hmm. He's so well read. I think his style is almost like intellect and like poetic and literary, like almost like an Edgar Allan Poe or something for like tragic gay culture. Cause he, you know, he was really one of the first artists to be like openly gay in music and not really shying away from lyrical themes that other artists weren't doing, even if they were out, like, you know, Boy George and Culture Club, they kind of shied away from going into that because of image and selling records. He never cared. Right. He leaned into the gay culture, embracing the dance music, but he was so smart in his writing, and Chris Lowe with his music making is so cutting edge and ahead of the curve. They combined two elements that I don't think many people could successfully replicate. But I do think their music has been, even my own band, without question, owes a ton of gratitude, especially Face the Sun to the Pet Shop Boys. So I think it's there. It's just hard to replicate.
I think the other thing that's revealing about this choice for you, Greg, is your penchant for songs that sound like upbeat, but actually lyrically are sad or melancholy, and that you mentioned is the dichotomy is that of that happy versus sad all at once. And so it's kind of masking, in a way it can mask the intent of the song by something that sounds kind of happy.
And most people might not even know.
Right.
Because they're just listening to the melody and dancing. Right. Empire of the Sun do that better than anybody of the current groups. There's a group that I think has kind of taken a lot of Pet Shop Boys, the overt pop nature of Empire of the Sun, with very melancholy kind of melodies and lyrics at times, at least. But so you're right about that.
If you were to say that Faded Paper Figures is a Willis band, I would say the Pet Shop Boys are a Greg band because of that
dichotomy.
Characteristic. Yeah.
And last note about the Pet Shop Boys and this particular album, a reason I say it's such a great fall album is it really makes you think in a lot of ways. It's the visual element of the music, I should say, or the what describes the music is the lyrics that kind of paint a picture of autumn. They even reference, there's a song called My October Symphony. There's a song called Only the Wind where they reference the wind in autumn and fall. There's just an of chilly feeling to the music. And Johnny Marr plays guitar on this whole album. So you hear a little bit of that sort of melancholy that he brings with his guitar sound. Angelo Badalamenti, dear friend of my family and my life, who sadly has passed away. He was a family friend who I idolized. He did the strings on this album, specifically being boring in a few other songs. Not this. I don't think there's strings on this song. But this whole album he helped produced. So there's a lot of, this was a really, really deep musical composition record, that happens to have these kind of dancey, joyful songs tucked in. This is the one on the album, I think, that kind of gives that hope. But one lyric, you know, I love to point out a lyric. I didn't do it all night tonight, Willis. Okay. So I give you a break. In the first verse of this song, he says, sitting down to a composition, test the limits of your inhibition. If the phone hasn't rung by midnight, it's over tonight. It's basically talking a lot in this song about, like, why do we allow relationships, women, men, or whatever, to like rule our lives so much, like where we need them to kind of like create, or we need them to feel something. It's almost like somebody else's actions are tied to how we feel about ourselves and our lives. And it's saying, like, why do we do that? It's just a boy or a girl. It's not the end of the world. This song has that hint of optimism,
I guess. Talk
in between these kind of dour, sad lyrics. So
makes you go, Yeah.
Things that make you go, So great choices tonight, my friend. The last two songs of the show are going to be Friendly Fires, Willis's pick, Lack of Love, a 10 out of 10 song, followed by Pet Shop Boys, The End of the World, a 10 out of 10 dance song.
And I know you're going to go on your October drive.
Maybe even today. I may. All right. Because now I'm going to hear this song again, and I'm going to be like, let me just get out there and drive.
Let's go.
I do have somewhere to drive, so I might just combo it together.
Just don't come back. Just keep driving.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much for everything, Willis. Great show again. Thank you to everybody who tunes in to listen to this show, are allowing us to indulge ourselves for an hour and a half or two. And hopefully we'll see everybody back here next week for what will be an incredible show number 93. I know it's going to be incredible. Yeah. And you and I will talk about our 100th show in more detail in coming weeks. And everybody have a good rest of your week. Ready for some more music?
Yes, let's go. Thank you.
Symptoms that are caused because hurting. Yes.